different things of different reasons, but one of its authorship, they would say, oh, so-and-so wrote it, so-and-so wrote it. If you read Hebrews, I think Paul wrote Hebrews, but that's just me. But there's a lot of guys who'd be like, and I don't lose any sleep over it. Not one bit. I sleep like a baby. I don't care. I don't. There's some tough chapters in Hebrews. There's some places in Hebrews that aren't preached at all, because it'd be like, I don't think God put anything in here that's not for us. So it's like, we'll just go through it. If you look at Hebrews and you read it, you said, man, this almost sounds like it's written to somebody who's a Christian who was a Jew. Christian Jew. Like, could have been written for people like that. Saying, look, you're so brought up in your culture in Judaism that to understand, Bible-based Christ teachings is different than that. And this is why. And these are the differences. And so as you go through and look at the verses, you say, how this seems like he's trying to reach this group of people, or trying to be reached by the author. So yeah, it's true. It's true. James wrote some things like that too in James, and you can see that as you read through the book of James. But we'll poke through those. We'll look at chapter 1 tonight and see how far we get. But we'll praise the Lord and ask for prayer. Father, we ask that you would bless tonight. Lord, this is your word. This is your word for us. We do pray that you'd help us as we look at it and make application for it. Thank you so much for folks that have come out for church tonight. Lord, just to hear from the word of God. And I pray that you would speak to us tonight, that you would work in our hearts. And we do pray for safety, Father. We do pray for this family, this one that was struck and killed, this tow truck recovery employee. Lord, we just pray for grace, and we're thankful for those folks, and pray that you'd watch over them tonight, Father, if they're working. And I'm sure they are. We love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. A lot of the books that Paul wrote, if you look at Timothy, if you look at some of the Pauline epistles, he always puts his name first. He says Paul. Then he says he has to kind of outline his apostleship. Like, Paul wasn't fishing by the Sea of Galilee. Jesus didn't call him and say, oh, Paul, come join us, And so he had all the disciples, and everybody knew their origin. Everybody knew their place. Everybody knew where they fit. So Paul, every time, he'd have to say, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy, you don't have to turn there, but Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope unto Timothy. And then he'd talk about who it's written to. Look at Hebrews, there's nobody's name there but God's name. It just says God. God, who at sundry times. It looks like sun dry. I know it does. You just hang it out to dry. I know it does. So, sundry just means diverse. And it diverse, but not like huge diversity. It just means at different times. But it's not even talking about a large amount of times, but a good amount of times, I guess. And looking at the 1828, when they talk about sundry, it says God, who at sundry times and in divers manners. Okay, so then divers isn't divers like we think of divers. And that got me when I was a kid. It just didn't make sense. I mean, I got divers. I'm like, man, what? But it's, we use the word diverse. So we say diverse in different ways. So at different times and in different ways, the Bible says, in divers manners, spake in time past. Okay, so in the past, God spoke in different ways and in different manners. The Bible says, unto the fathers by the prophets. The fathers of who? The fathers of what? Right, the fathers of the children of Israel, right, and to the leaders, we'll see the prophets, different ones. We just came out of Isaiah. God spoke to Isaiah and told him, "Look, man, I need you to walk nude for this many years as a symbol for the people." Like, I would have been checking the phone company, and like the signal's bad. I'm not getting, but I mean, look, Isaiah, I want you to take this girdle and go bury it in a riverbank. Okay, that's what we're doing today. Now I want you to go back and get it however months later, and it's got holes in it, and it's just destroyed. I want you to wear it like it's your clothes. Okay, I mean, just different ways. I mean, we saw that in Isaiah. The prophets had a very, very tough job. I want you to speak to these people. That's one thing. I mean, so easy, right? Get up and preach the Word of God, and you can pastor a church, where. way easy compared to what he had. Who's going to help Isaiah? Just God. Right? No, who wanted to hear what he had to say? He was preaching against their bad living day in and day out and just king in and king out, right? We think having bad presidents is bad, and it is, right? Imagine having bad kings. You're like, this guy's in until he dies. There are no elections. And guess what? If he dies, it's very likely that some of his spawn is going to be in there after him, right? And in the, I mean, some of it was as bad or worse as it was the generation before the mess. Amen. You got to be faithful. And you continue to go. So it was not an easy job. Hats off to the prophets. They're just an unbelievable job. God calling them out of, it said diverse manners at sundry times. Different occupations. There was no, God's going to call this guy because he, no, you couldn't do that. I mean, it would be a person here and a person. It wasn't like Levitical priesthood where it said, well, God's going to call, priests out of this tribe. Well, you knew where they're going to come from. You knew. But prophets, you didn't know. God just raised them up and he'd take them out of different groups. A lot of them just ordinary folk, just ordinary working folk, shepherds, husbandmen, just different occupations. But the Bible says, so those are the past times, So he's going to compare the past with now. In Hebrews, especially in chapter 1, there's a lot of comparisons. And what the writer is trying to show us is that Jesus Christ is better. Jesus Christ is better. It's one of the themes here we'll see. Verse number 2, hath, God. Okay? God hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Okay? So it's after the Lord has come, after He's risen, the Bible says, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. So it's another way of saying, okay, because you say, well, He's the heir of all things, what He made everything, okay? In Revelation, we see that Jesus is called the what? The Greek alphabet. He's the Alpha and the, and that represents the beginning and the end, right? I mean, so it's another way of saying that, who Jesus is, okay? The Bible says, He hath appointed, been appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. He's here at the beginning. And the Bible says the heir, right? The heir is the one that is to come, the one that's to come. So in Christ is all these things. It's in between. And verse 3, I mean, it is, verse 3 is just amazing. It said, who, okay, so speaking of the Lord, who being the brightness of His glory, okay, talking about God the Father. Bible talks about no man hath seen God at any time. He said, Brother Keith, they saw Jesus. The Bible says that nobody's seen God, but they saw Jesus. And you preach that Jesus is God because you believe in deity of Christ. I think about deity of Christ driving in preacher as all these Christmas-type sermons, and the virgin birth, all these things, right? Yes, it's true. When you tease out the Godhead and you said some things are spoken of the Spirit of God that aren't the same as Christ. Some things are spoken of the Father that aren't of the Christ. I mean, if you call Jesus the Father, I'll just tell you right now, the everlasting Father always throws me when I read it. Okay, it just does, because I'm thinking the Prince of Peace is Jesus, the Counselor is Jesus, Emmanuel is God with us, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that one's pretty easy. And I, yes, it, but when I get to everlasting Father, it always gets me. And I'm thinking, and it's not wrong, but it's just a part of the Godhead. And it's like, that's a part of it. This part here where it says, who being the brightness of His glory, Jesus, okay, the express image of His person. Express means the part that we can see of God. If He said, nobody's seen God at any time, that's speaking of the Father. But the Son has seen Him. Philip told Jesus, he said, we would see the Father. And Jesus was trying to tell him, we're the same. We're the same. If you have seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, Philip, how long have I been with you? And he said, why would you ask this? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So Jesus is the express image of Christ and upholding all things by the word of His power. You worry about holding things together? We're just trying to keep it together. I'm with you. My mic is down here in this pocket because the other pockets aren't open yet because Mrs. Garner is a thrift person and this is like suit buying season. Like if you like want to get church clothes or any kind of nice shirts, penny everywhere, you know. Massive sales. That's great. And we don't, you know, to have a penny that you can walk in. So you're like looking online trying to, anyways, none of my pockets are open yet. When I cut these open, I cut the wrong one. And I could shove my hand all the way in the bottom. So I told her, I was like, I'm not touching it till you get home. So I went to put my mic in it and just boom, right? I try to hold it together, but Mrs. Garner helps me hold it together. There's my illustration there. But the Lord, the Bible says, by His word, He holds it all together. I mean, one word, it all just, poof, it can all fall apart, right? Just, poof, there it goes. The Bible says, upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself, anybody that believes that they can earn salvation, anything they can earn from God, the Bible says, when He had by Himself purged our sins. All by Himself. He did it by Himself. The Bible says, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Both that verse is just loaded. Loaded. Jesus, the express image of God, the brightness of His glory, the Bible says, holds all things together, has the word of power, purged us of our sins by Himself, and then He sat down on the right hand of God like He said He was going to do. And when Stephen preached his message right before he was stoned, where was Jesus? The Bible says He was sitting by the right hand of God. And then when he saw Stephen, the Bible says He stood. You're not going to find that very many times in the Word of God. And I just look at it as like an awesome, like a God time. Like looking down and says, all right, good. And you're going to be coming home, you know, because I mean, that they won't listen. You're stiff-necked and circumcised in heart and ears, right? You do always resist who? The Holy Ghost. You always resist God. And the Bible says they gnashed on Him with His teeth. I don't know if they bit Him or what they did, but they stoned Him dead with a hammer. The Bible says that Jesus was standing. You know, most times you see He's sitting, but that's one time you'll see that He was standing. The idea is here of generally where He's at. He's at the right hand of God, and He's making intercession for us. The Bible says that He does that for us in John chapter number 17. Verse number 4, being made so much better than the angels. Being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. The Son of God, the picture of the Son of God, is that He is the Father's Son that He's created, right? But we know that He's the Creator. This gets people. I say it's controversial. You look at that and say, well, He was made, so that means He was made. He had a beginning. He didn't have a beginning. He's the Word. He's the Word. He had no beginning. But the Bible says being made so much better than the angels, and if you're going to try to word that, just say that something is better than something else, or it was better than that thing. And how would you say it? You know, it's just a task. It's got to be put down in some kind of words. But He was made so much better than the angels. A lot of times when people saw the angels, look at what happened in the Bible. When the angels at the tomb at the resurrection, where were the men? The Bible says they were laying on the ground like they were what? Like they were dead men. Yeah. When the angels met the shepherds and they were going to tell them about the star and tell them about Jesus, the Bible says they were sore afraid, just like, when the disciples are in the boat and they say, Jesus coming on the water, they say it's a spirit, right? And it weirded them out. I think it was brother, who was with us? Our missionary, the one that grew up here in Eagle River, preacher, who was with, or not here, or here in Chugiak, Peters Creek. Yes, Brother Cromwell, I think he's the one that said, I'm trying to remember all the messages from all the people, that it was a Jewish tradition to believe that you'd see a spirit before, right before you died. Like you would see, like you could see a spirit. I think he was the one that said that. It's a traditional thing. But anyways, They saw something coming and they thought, it's the Spirit. And they're, oh, right? It's, you know. And we say, well, what are you getting at? They have thoughts towards these things, these heavenly beings, already in their mind. And he's saying that Christ, being made much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Psalm 2:7. There's a ton of references here. We won't turn to all of them, but there is a ton of references in Hebrews. Why is it? I'm trying to get somebody that believes a lot in the Old Testament, okay, to believe the New. And who's the New Testament? The Bible says Jesus is this New Testament that I have in my blood. The Bible says testaments are made of force when the testator has perished, when they've died. And Jesus Christ died, his testament became in force at that time. And it's the new word. I can't go back and be like, man, I'm an Old Testament Christian. We're saved under the New Testament of Jesus Christ, of Jesus. Well, the Bible says, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, let all the angels of God worship him. Worship him. When, I have to remember my deity passages here, I believe it was Cornelius coming to Peter. He fell down. Peter told him to get up. When John is being given the revelation, he falls down at an angel's feet and begins to worship. And the angel stands him up and says, no, worship God. Worship God. Say, well, what are you getting at? A deity, right? Who's the king? Who's the one to worship? The Lord is the one that we're to worship. Not the angels, okay? Not the heavenly beings. And they're there. And they're there for a purpose. And they have a purpose. Very important purpose. They do, and it's a part of God's what God made. And it said, there's a lot of references to angels. If our only view of angels is a worldly view, it's not going to be very accurate, right? They don't live in the outfield, you know, and all the movies and all that stuff like that. All these weird things, angels. Do they all look the same? Do they all look like this? It's like, try to get it all from Scripture, but the thoughts that they have about the angels. He's giving them the idea that Jesus, he's telling them, that Jesus is better. Jesus is better. Again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, verse 6, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. Where was Lucifer supposed to be? Worshiping God. When Hebrews was written, that's where he was supposed to be. That's where the third of that went with them were supposed to be. They were supposed to be worshiping God. They should have been watching Jesus fulfill his earthly ministry instead of trying to hinder it. And they should have been there when he rose from the dead. And they should have been there to worship him. Well, they sat right at the right hand of God. They should have been there for that, but they didn't. They didn't obey. The Bible says in verse number 7, and of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits? And his ministers a flame of fire. I mean, I like reading about the angels. I like reading it when it talks about Michael and Gabriel coming. Gabriel's a messenger of an angel. He brings a lot of messages. He talked to Joseph and he told him, look, don't get rid of Mary. She's not a two-timing double-crosser. You got to keep her. It's like, this is what's going on. And he tells Mary, this is what you got going on. You know, and he was bringing the message. Don't kill the message. That was Gabriel, right? Now, Michael's the warring angel. Whenever there's a fight going on in heaven, Michael's somewhere. He's getting ready to do those things. And he's important. And we see that in Genesis, when Adam and Eve were ushered out, there was a keeper put at the gate not to let them back in lest they get to the tree of life. And it was an angel of the Lord. I mean, we see that. So they're used. They're very important. They're not like, well, Jesus is more important to them, so they're not important at all. And that's not the thing. But what is our stock in? What is our... Because there's people, I mean, say, well, I believe in spirits. There's a whole teaching of spiritism. One of the teachings that Brother Compton does deal with the visions, like there's this shamanistic spiritualism of nature and all these things, and it's just like spirits of things, right? And all the importance is given to them, and it needs to be given to the creator of those spirits. Like people are close. I mean, they're like, yes, like, you know, got this stuff up here. Yeah, and you believe in things that aren't seen. That's great. It's wonderful. But there's a creator of all those things. His name's Jesus Christ. Created the spirits. He created all these things. Didn't ask us to worship them. He asked us to worship Him. The Bible says in verse 8, unto the Son, He saith, thy throne. And then look at these next two words. He says this to the Son. Okay? It's the deity of Christ first. Oh, God. Calls Him God. And that's what we mean by deity of Christ. The Father speaks of the Son's deity. It wasn't little g God. It said, oh, God. Is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness. We see that in Jeremiah 9:24. And has hated iniquity. Iniquity is sin. Iniquity is more than that. It is the self way. It's the self way. The self way got Lucifer out of heaven. The self way got Eve eaten of the tree. The self way got Cain to kill his brother. It's the self way. This is going to help me. I'm going to do it. And I don't care what God says or anybody. I'm going to, right? It's the self way. God said, Jesus is like, man, I don't like that. It's iniquity. And I love righteousness, upright of heart. Righteousness speaks of motives. Why are you doing this? Well, I just fell into it. I didn't even know why I was doing it. I just did. No. God says righteousness, right? I want to do this to be you bring glory to God. I don't even care how it turns out, right? It's like I want it to be, I want to bring glory to the Lord. Righteousness. This is what He loves, the Bible tells us. He hated iniquity. The Bible says He eschews evil. He hates it. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. So Psalm 102, verses 25 through 27, we won't go to that. This is a super good science passage here that explains the second law of thermodynamics. And you didn't come here to learn that tonight, certainly not, or all the rest of them, but we'll talk about that here as we read through. The Bible says, the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. Okay? The world is a system. Any system, okay, is going to tend towards entropy or randomness. When we joke about it in Sunday school, we have job security and we're fighting entropy all the time. Things falling apart, things breaking, whatever it is, like fix it. It's entropy. It's breaking down. I mean, you don't want to admit it and I don't want to, but we're breaking down. Just like I used to be able to, wow, I don't know, I used to not make noises like that, but mercy sakes, and I used to this and that, and you just look at old pictures and you're just like, you know, when you're younger, you say, yeah, that was me, and I was like, oh boy. Oh man, break it down! This is the way it is. You know who doesn't break down? Jesus doesn't break down at all. He's the same. He's just the same. The sameness of Jesus is one of the awesome things about Him. That's just like, you're just like, oh, praise God. You're still the same, right? You're still the same. Nothing's changed. So He breaks that. The law of thermodynamics is a real deal. I mean, it just is. I mean, there's every system is going to break down. You say, no, I can't wait to have that new car. That's going to be exciting. It's going to be wonderful. Well, 25 years ago, somebody thought that. And that car's now 25 years old, and it may not have... You talk about entropy, right? I'm just minding my own business, working at my house. Yesterday, the wind's blowing. I come outside, and I'm looking at my river sled, and the door is open on it. It just has a two-door windshield that you walk through to the bow, and it was open. And I was like, that's weird. That shouldn't be open. You have to open it. I mean, it doesn't just open. The wind caught it open. It shattered that thing. It just broke it, and it had happened, like, I don't know, probably 8 years ago, 10 years ago, I was at church camp, and we were towing kids on the tubes, and the wind was blowing. His preacher friend with me, actually Pastor Lamont, that was here, he was in there, and he let that door open, and it just, as soon as it got open, I said, "There it goes," and it goes, wham! And it just, it shatters, but it doesn't break, you know, it just, and then he says, "Oh, brother, Keith, I'm so sorry." I was like, "That's all right, just sign it, you know. You don't have to buy me a new one, just sign your name, all right? I got a Sharpie out, sign his name on it. Put your name on your hand, you work preacher, just leave it how it is." But it just breaks. You don't even have to do nothing. Something breaks. That's entropy. That's the world we live in. It just breaks. It's like, oh, it broke. The Bible says, "They shall perish, but thou remainest. They all shall wax old as doth a garment." How many of you hang on to a piece of clothing way longer than you should because it's comfortable? Mrs. Garner, I love her to death, but she tries like pushing me too soon out of my nice worn clothes. I mean, I'm not talking about immodesty and looking homeless, all that stuff. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying, I like this sweatshirt. And as long as my elbows aren't poking out of it, and I got, yes, but I like this much. At least, so you buy me the exact same one. The exact same one. It's nice. It looks new. It's great. It's wonderful. But I like the one. It's comfortable. It's wonderful. I've kept a few of my dad's shirts because my dad wore suspenders all the time. And he was outside logging, doing everything. There are sunburns in the shirt from the suspenders. Crossmark. I said, "You can't buy that. That's worth $10 trillion. If I was to sell that shirt, I'd get $1 billion, and it'd be over, and I'd only have $1 billion. That'd be it. It'd be all over. It'd be the only billion I got." But I said, "You can't get that anywhere. So I'm gonna hang on to that. I shouldn't have it, but I do." And he's like, it's comfortable. It's an old garment. It's going away. It's going to break. It's going to go out. Buttons are going to break, and you're going to fix it and do all these things. We pass certain things down in our family. So I'm child number two. And so Nolan's the oldest grandchild, but it's like, you know, we got the jerseys of this or whatever, and we pass them down to the next kid or Sandra. We got the boots, you know, and one of them was a pair of boots my brother wore. So, like, grandma's like, never throws anything away. You know, I'll keep it up. Clean it out. Pass it down here. Pass it down here. Pass it. Collect a few more holes. Doesn't get any better, does it? It doesn't get to the next person and be like, "Oh, look how much better." No. That's what entropy is. It breaks down. We break down. Everything around us breaks. But God stays the same. He stays the same. He does not obey most of the laws that He commands us to live by in the earth physically. He just doesn't have to. He said, "I'm going to make it and be out from it." He's created the world. He's the originator of it. He came down and lived in it. He's outside of time, and He came down and He had to obey time. I mean, it's just amazing. He was outside of being a human being, and then He came down and decided to be one. And the Bible says that His scars are still visible, which means He's kept His fleshly abode in heaven. I mean, we're going to see it. The Bible says in John, we're going to see Him as He is. We're going to see those things. We're going to know. So like anybody that says, "Oh, you know, I'm the Lord, I'm Jesus. Oh, look, Jesus, He's over here. All right, let's see your scars, pal." You know, let's see. Because He's going to be the same. He's going to be the same. The Bible says in verse 12, "As a vesture shalt thou fold them up, they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." No matter what's going on, no matter how crazy stuff gets, no matter all the new evidence that's been dug up in a week, there's been a lot of it. Unbelievable. I was watching stuff 2 days ago. They figured out the algorithm they used for doing the vote conversions, figured it was the same one used in every single state. The guy that run the voting systems that knew how to run all this stuff went to Detroit because that's where they needed the most help. Shut the voting down for however many hours to figure out how much math they needed to figure out how... pictures, they got the pay stubs of the checks that they paid people to harvest ballots. It's like, boom, boom. Yeah, somebody prayed for the election. Boom. I put down there, what did I put in the bulletin? You've got to get me one of those prayer slips, Mom, before me, if you soon. I just wrote down election. I can't remember what I wrote. Election something. Good versus evil. That's all it is. Right? Truth versus untruth. I mean, I get excited now because I'm starting to read stuff where the Democratic Party inside themselves are starting to point fingers at the socialists and the communists and saying, we're not you. This is wonderful. This is great. But no matter all that stuff going on, saying, you know what? You don't fail. You don't fail and you don't change. We're silly down here. Don't mind us. We're silly. But you do not change. Thy years shall not fail. The Bible says, but to, verse 13, and we're almost done, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? In other words, he just said it to one and he said it to the Son. So he's better. He's better. In verse 14, they tells him, it says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? That's the job. They have a job. They have a job. Jesus prays for us. They minister to us. I don't know if angels carry you to heaven when you die. I've heard enough references to think there's something to it. They said some of the native guys that killed Jim Elliot and Nate Saint, that's their testimony. They said there were angels, picked them up. These white things came down and picked them up and took them, right? Now, it wasn't their bodies, right? Because your body's going to die. It's going to go on the ground. So it was like a spiritual thing. They came down. That's just what they said. I don't take that to the bank or not. I'm just thinking, that's something. I've heard enough of it to say, that is something to it. But the Bible says they're ministering spirits. Children have ministering spirits as well. Bible calls them guardians. They're ministers. My children need probably a couple, two, three apiece, That's just in the mornings at the bus stop or wherever else. They need them. That's their job. Can't explain it all. That's the way God set it up. He wasn't like, well, man's really going south. We need to start assigning angels to these people because we're losing them left and right. It wasn't like that. It was from before. Think about this. Satan falling, a third of the angels going with him, and God says, I'm going to put my creation in that mess. I mean, if it was that way. I mean, you can't say, nobody's going to can say, well, we know that in chapter 3, the serpent came and spoke to Eve. We know that. So we know they were there. Whether they were there a long time before, you can do whatever you want there, not verses for it. But we know they're there. And God's saying, I'm going to put man in there. And God's wisdom is that they're going to need some help. They're going to need some to watch and help them. And it's not that then he created it. No, they were already a part of his creation. They're already a part of his plan. But here in Hebrews, he's saying Jesus Christ is better. Jesus Christ is better. And his years shall not fail. Father, we do thank you for your grace to us. Thank you for this opening chapter here tonight. We pray that you'd use it, Lord, in our hearts. Give us confidence in Thee. Lord, we see so many crazy things go on where we live today, but things that don't surprise You. Help us, Lord, in our spirits to be movable as Christ is, Lord, and steadfast our gaze and our hearts upon Thee. We love You. We ask You to bless our prayer time tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.